In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. You know that I harp on Bible literacy all the time. We should know the Bible well. We should know especially the gospel well. So I thought I would tell you about this reading about the Theotokos, although it's not the Mary that's in there is not her. But we always read this reading for the Theotokos and explain why. And then talk about the epistle and about how the scriptures give us an example of how to live. This is the great power of the Mother of God, that her example throughout the ages has helped many, many a Christian. Her prayers, but also her example, her mind. So this reading in the Gospel is a composite reading. You can't find it in any standard Bible because it is a couple paragraphs, and then it skips ahead to a completely unrelated event. So it's about Mary and Martha serving Jesus. They were good friends of Jesus. Lazarus was also their brother, and he would stay in Bethany quite often with them. Mary was a former prostitute and had been saved from her life of sin by Jesus, and she was full of gratitude. Martha loved him very much also. But Mary was more of a contemplative, quiet person. Perhaps it was because of her former life and how she was in repentance for it, or perhaps it was just her personality. Martha was the kind that would be more likely to clean the dishes and to sweep the floor. And so they were having a meal, and Martha was going about serving, and Mary was just sitting at Jesus' feet listening to him speak and teach. Martha was upset about this. And so Jesus speaks to her and says, "Martha, Martha, thou art troubled about many things, but Mary hath chosen the good part, and it shall not be taken away from her." Now this Mary now is not Mary the Theotokos, but of course she shares the same name. And the church sort of makes I don't know what you would call that. It's not really a pun, but sort of a connection between these two names. And then it skips a good number of verses, and it says, "And it came to pass, as he was speaking these things," not the things that he was saying in that we just read, this is days later perhaps, "as he was speaking these things, a certain woman out of the crowd lifted up her voice and said to him, 'Blessed is the womb that bore thee and the breast which thou didst suck.' And he said," an idiom now, I have to explain to you, it says in some scriptures, "yea, rather." Well, the King James loves that because they don't really want to honor the Theotokos. The people that translated it were not great lovers of the Theotokos. They weren't part of our tradition. So the idiom is like, it's basically yes, but in addition to. It's yes, I agree with you, but there's more to it than that, is basically the idiom. And it sometimes gets translated, "yea, rather." Technically, that's what it is, but idiomatically, it means, "yes, I agree, but there's more. And here's the more. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." So, this is attaching to us that Mary has chosen the good part, and the Theotokos, who is also Mary, chose the good part. To hear the word of God and to keep it, because that's her primary jewel of a virtue, that when the Lord, through the Archangel Gabriel, said that she would bear a child, putting her at extreme risk for poverty or for being stoned, being ostracized by her community, being considered to be impure, when the Archangel said this, she said, "Let it be unto the slave of the Lord," just like that. And at that point in time, then the Holy Spirit overshadowed her and she became pregnant with Jesus, who became perfectly man as well as already being perfectly God at that moment in time, even when he was just microscopic. And then, of course, she bore Jesus over the course of 9 months and he was born. And in that 9 months, bearing God within her belly, great changes came over her. But the original impetus was her obedience to hear the word of God and to keep it. And that mind is what we should strive to have. So when you pray to the Theotokos and ask her help, you should ask with confidence because she heard the word of God and kept it, and you're trying to learn the word of God and to keep it. You're trying to do the things that you should be doing, stop doing the things that you shouldn't be doing. You're trying to change the way you think, the way you act, the way you are. If you're only trying to say to yourself, don't do this or don't do that, then you're missing the point. The point is, we want to have a heart that is completely free, completely open to God, completely filled with God, filled with nothing else, but only God, only good, only compassion, only humility, only purity, and nothing else. And this is that mind that we are striving to have, and that the Theotokos achieved, not because of any superhuman powers, because she had no superhuman powers. There's no such thing. And to say superhuman is sort of an oxymoron. Humans are just mere humans, all subject to death, all subject to sin, all subject to corruption, except if God wills that they would not be subject to these things because of their belief and because of their struggle. So with our belief in Christ and our struggle, we become no longer subject to death and corruption. But really, that is in the next life that will be no longer at all subject to death, that death will be completely conquered, because the last enemy to be conquered, according to the scriptures, is death. And we should feel death within us. If you don't feel death within you, then, well, you're in a bit of a pickle, because there are things in us that are alive and things that are dead. When we become jealous, when we become angry, have a lustful thought, that's death. When we're listless, apathetic, lazy, when we pray with inattention, that's death. When we remember wrongs, when we're bitter, that's death. You should feel that as death. Life is to be full of goodness, full of purity, full of God. And the Theotokos achieved that. And she achieved it to such an extent that we're celebrating today what we call her falling asleep, and what some people call also her assumption. And that is that she died, and then sometime within the period of time between her death and 3 days later when Thomas arrived to see her and to kiss her, she was taken by the Lord, body and soul, into heaven. Death had no hold over her because Christ chose for it not to have a hold over her. She didn't have any power over death. God has power over death. But because of her obedience, because of her mind, because she heard the word of God and kept it, because she kept that one thing needful, better than any other mere human being, Christ came and brought her into heaven. And that's a prophecy too for us, just as much as the ascension, that we will be brought into heaven, body and soul, to be with Christ forever. So I submit to you that the most important thing for us to have in mind, shall I say, or it, not really have in mind like you think about it, it just has to be part of you, that the Mother of God is an example to us because of her obedience. And her obedience has brought forth great fruit. Not only did it bring forth the God-man Jesus Christ, without her there would be no God-man Jesus Christ, there would be no incarnation, but it also brought forth within her great fruit, where she became deified. That's that word, theosis. And again, I have to stress to you, because I have no idea who might hear this, who might look at this sermon if it ever gets transcribed. We in no way think that the Theotokos is anything but a mere human being. There's only one human being that was not subject to death or was not subject to corruption. He was subject to death, of course, because he died. Everyone else is. But the Lord intervened because of her belief, because of her purity, because of her acceptance of God's will, because of her keeping that one thing needful, keeping that good part. So I hope you understand this gospel. This gospel is a composite for the purpose of sort of making a comparison, that Mary, the brother or sister, Lazarus, excuse me, her keeping that good part is now compared to that Mary the Theotokos, especially keeping that good part and being obedient to Christ. And look what obedience has brought her. Let's talk about the Philippians passage. Perhaps it's the greatest passage about the incarnation in all of Scripture. And it has this admonition by Paul. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Now this is read for Feast of the Theotokos. And it's about the incarnation. It mentions nothing about her. But of course, without her, there would be no incarnation. So it is about her. And her role was to be obedient to God so that the God could become the God-man. And this mind that St. Paul is talking about is not really specifically about the Mother of God. It is about the mind of Christ. But the mind of Christ was also obtained through labor by the Mother of God and of the saints. So we can certainly think of her mind here, as well as in the gospel, where she chose that good part. She had this mind that is in Christ Jesus. And so what is this mind? By the way, before I answer that question, I would say it's the most important question that you can really answer. Or perhaps it would be 1B. 1A is, what's your purpose? Why are you here? And you know that I like to ask that question a lot. It's a very important question that you should be answering every day. If you're not living according to your purpose, what are you doing? The second question, or 1B, would be, how do you develop this mind? This mind of Christ. Because let's be honest with one another. When we encounter some situation, we often fall. In fact, we predictably fall. Someone says something evil about us, we predictably are upset about it. Perhaps even, God help us, someone curses at us, we curse back. Someone pushes us in the chest, we push them back. Someone is unfair to us, we get back at them. Or perhaps some other sin. Perhaps we cannot control our sexual thoughts or our ambition. Or perhaps we can't get off the bed or off the couch to pray because our mind is weak. We are so weak. And Christianity is to develop the mind of Christ. So let's look at this mind that you should be trying to develop. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a slave and was made in the likeness of men. Do you understand what it means when he says, who being in the form of God? This is poetry. So it's not to be taken literally. If you have a statue of Stan Musial, that's the form of Stan Musial, like the one outside of the stadium in St. Louis. But it's not him. This is not speaking of that kind of thing. It is speaking poetically that he is God. He thought it not robbery to be equal to God. So if you think it not robbery to be something, that means you are that something. He is God, equal to God, as much God as the Father, as much God as the Spirit. But he made himself of no reputation. He took on the form of a man. Again, there's that poetry, the form of a slave. He became man, perfectly man, as much as you and I are men and women, humans. And he was of no reputation because he was born poor, and he was born in a place that was considered to be a backwater, and where it was a Galilee of the Gentiles. It was considered an unclean place by the Jews of Jerusalem. They would look up their nose, down their nose at such people. So he was of no reputation, especially when he started preaching and when he said things that the ruling class did not like. And so they blasphemed him and said he was a servant of Beelzebub and that he was a winebibber and that he was unclean and that he ate with sinners and all these other things. All the while, he is God and man. And he could remove them with a thought if he wished. So he made himself of no reputation. He was full of great humility, great compassion. He did what needed to be done. He reached people where they were. And he brought them up to where they needed to be. And so he was made in the likeness of men. Again, that's a poetic way to say it. He became a man, fully a man, as much as you and I. And by becoming a man, while at the same time remaining God, he was able, because God can do anything he wishes, to raise up his humanity to perfection so that it would not be subject to death. So when he died, then out of his own power, of his own ability as God, made his flesh so that it would not suffer corruption and that it would be risen and would be able to ascend to be with the Father. St. Paul goes on to say, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and he became obedient to death, even death on the cross. And he continues. But this is enough for us to talk about the mind of Christ. This is what you should be trying to do. So much of Christianity anywhere, whether it's called Christianity and is just a reflection of it, or whether it is in our churches where people speak of being Orthodox Christians and don't really understand what it means to be one. So much of Christianity is the following of rules and that sort of thing. And really living a worldly life, except for little places where we do religious things, where we go to church on Sunday, or perhaps we even keep the fast, or perhaps we do this or we do that. But it's not wholeheartedly acquiring the mind of Christ. That's the whole point. The whole point why you should have kept this fast, and whether you did it well or not, is not of any real concern. Whether you tried or not, now that's a concern. To keep this fast of 14 days, the reason why is to develop the mind of Christ. Because in fasting, we become more open to God, and God speaks to us, and we hear him better. There's less noise in us when we fast, even if we fail in fasting. This is not about that you have to perform a certain way, that you have to have a 98th percentile or else you can't get into Harvard. This is not what it's about. It's about struggle to develop the mind of Christ. And no matter how sinful you are, no matter how competent or incompetent you are, if you desire this mind, God will bring you to this mind. And the Theotokos, of course, is the best example of a mere human being acquiring the mind of Christ. This is the point. This is why we're alive, to have the mind of Christ. It's not to fast in a certain way, or to pray in a certain way, or to attend services in a certain way, etc., etc. All of those things are very necessary because of our character. Human character needs fasting. It needs the regularity of coming to church services. It needs confession before a mere human being in the presence of Christ. It needs to do prostrations. It needs to get off its duff and say prayers in the morning. We need these things. Our character, our human stuff requires it, just as much as it requires food and water and sleep and shelter. But they're not at all the end. They're only a means. They're a means to acquire the mind of Christ. And this is the primary aspect of the Mother of God that we should hold dear. She acquired the mind of Christ through obedience, through labor, not through being perfect herself, not by being superhuman, just by being a mere human being who said yes when God said what she should do. So we should say yes. Now, perhaps our yes is sometimes no. Let's just try to have our yes be yes more often, and not vacillate between good and bad, and try to get a little bit better. That's really the point. It's not about that you have to be perfect today. If any one of us has to be perfect today, we are all, any one of us, we have no chance whatsoever for salvation. Because no one can be perfect, including the Mother of God. Only Jesus Christ can be perfect. But we are trying to acquire the mind of Christ. So perhaps when you pray to the Mother of God, as I've been doing a lot of, especially since June 11th, perhaps when you say certain prayers to her, some things that touch you in a certain way, you will have something inside your heart. I don't know how to describe it. I just know what it feels like. when there's something inside your heart that just wants to be different than you are. You don't want to be that guy anymore that thinks this way, that does these things. You want to be different. And the Mother of God became different. So there's this yearning. There's especially a place in the Paraclesis where we ask to be delivered from confusion. Let me tell you, there's a ton of confusion when you have a son who dies in a river in Germany. There's a lot of confusion. And it continues on. Even if I rationally know this and that, and even if my heart knows things, there's still confusion. I want to be delivered from this confusion. She was delivered from the confusion. And so when I pray that prayer in the Paraclesis, it resonates deeply into my bones, into my soul, because I want to acquire that mind that the Mother of God has. This is what we are especially celebrating. She acquired the mind of Christ. And because of this, the Lord took her, a perfect, made perfect vessel, into the heavens with him. Through the prayers of the holy Theotokos, O Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us and save us.